RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Tel Aviv's Hostage Square, music and hundreds celebrating the release of four Israeli hostages. The four female soldiers were held captive by Hamas for 15 months, now reunited with their families. Israel following with the release of the first of 70 of 200 Palestinian prisoners or detainees due to be set free as part of the ceasefire. It couldn't be closer. Pete Hegseth confirmed by the Senate as the defense secretary only after Vice President J.D. Vance had to break a 50-50 tie. Minutes after the confirmation last night, President Trump speaking with Hegseth by phone while on Marine One in Los Angeles.
We just heard that we have a great Secretary of Defense. We're very happy about that, and we appreciate everybody's vote.
Trump was in fire-ravaged Los Angeles, where he toured charred Pacific Palisades and promised that most federal permits to rebuild will be waived. This is ABC News. A gun battle near the Canadian border has left a U.S. Border Patrol officer dead after a suspicious couple caught the eye of an alert hotel employee, leading authorities to them in northern Vermont. As Chief Justice correspondent Pierre Thomas tells us, it's the first tragedy of its kind in over a decade.
Authorities say 21-year-old Teresa Youngblood and Felix Bockholt, a German citizen on an expired visa, engaged police in a hail of gunfire along Interstate 91 in Coventry, Vermont, about 20 miles from the Canadian border. Bockholt was killed, Youngblood wounded. 44-year-old Border Patrol agent David Chris Mayland died later at a local hospital.
Youngblood is reported to be a Washington State resident. Opening statements began Friday in A$AP Rocky's trial over a 2021 Hollywood shooting. The rapper accused of firing a gun at a former friend, Terrell Efron, faces two felony charges and up to 24 years in prison. Prosecutors presented surveillance footage as evidence, while his defense claims the gun was a prop and the case stems from greed. Dave Packer, ABC News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. One in three kids living in rural areas of Wisconsin is insured by Medicaid, and Congress is considering cutting some of the program's funding. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The nationwide study from Georgetown University's Center for Children and Families used census data to compare how many people living in rural areas are insured by Medicaid. William Park Sutherland with Kids Forward explains northern Wisconsin counties above Highway 29 have higher than average rates of children enrolled.
We really are leveraging our future by targeting a program that not only, but one of its most important roles is protecting the health of kids.
About 1.5 million Wisconsinites are insured through Badger Care, the state Medicaid program. It makes up about 26% of the state budget, providing health care coverage for low-income residents from birth to age 64.
There's just no way to cut out this much of the program, right? $2 trillion, and not hurt children, not hurt seniors, and not hurt people with disabilities who depend on Medicaid along with parents and caregivers.
He says cuts would also risk increasing the number of uninsured people, up the amount of medical debt and financial insecurity in the state, and potentially deter people from seeking care. Wisconsin is one of 10 states that has not expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. A Wisconsin Policy Forum study shows the state could save $1.7 billion over the next 2 years if it did. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Chance of flurries today, otherwise mostly sunny, breezy as well, a high near 33. Tonight, clear and cold with a low around 8, wind chills below zero. For Sunday, sunshine and 27. Mostly sunny, a touch warmer on Monday, but still windy, high of 40.
Right now, 9 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Demming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he didn't cut a gay man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhank, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Digga. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Well, you know, it always gets the darkest before sunrise. And Haley, today was a bizarre day in a lot of ways. I was in a meeting, and what came across was that Leonard Peltier, the information on Leonard Peltier being, well, let's get our friend Ruth Buffalo on here, and let's talk about this. Welcome, Ruth. What a day. You know, it's a double-edged sword. We have 47 being sworn in today, and then all of a sudden I get this message across my Facebook, and people are texting me, and I broke out in tears, and I didn't expect that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Dosha and hello and Matsigidads, Mabe Sigids, it's a good day.
Yeah, it is. And for our audience that doesn't know, Ruth Anna has been really behind in the last few years, the clemency for our uncle Leonard Peltier. And today was a magical day. I know it says in February 18th that he'll be let out, and then he'll be under the scrutiny of staying home. But that also means that he can go to the doctor, going to religious services and things like that. So, you know, I think there's a gray zone there where he can get out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely good news. And I'm just an outsider looking in. You know, different family members have had histories of helping with the American Indian movement, but definitely not here to like grandstand or, you know, anything like that. So it's like a really fine line, I think, too, to put yourself out there in advocacy. So I just, first and foremost, my disclaimer is, you know, I'm just a helper and really want to acknowledge and pay tribute to those who survived that day out at Wounded Knee and things, you know. So that has always kind of been my thing from the beginning, is just amplifying the survivors' voices first and foremost. during my, I would say short time, it felt like a long time though, during my short time of advocacy for Leonard, really paralleled a lot of what we were seeing directly in North Dakota, locally, within our home communities, within our own families, of the injustices with the judicial system, you know. And when I was a state legislator in the state legislature, I sat on the House Judiciary Committee and the House Agriculture Committee, but a lot of common themes that are just heartbreaking even to this day of like, why is this still happening, you know? And so it was just to be invited to visit Leonard by himself back then when I was running for re-election, you know, and then to go down there and see him definitely was eye-opening and did impact me, you know, to continue supporting him and trying to get him free. So I think it's a big undertaking and many people died trying, you know, but it's, so I just want to, you know, make that disclaimer because during my time of advocacy, you know, I saw a lot, learned a lot, and always tried to do the right thing by, you know, carrying out what he had asked me to do. And so someday, hopefully all of that will come to light too, because, it's no fun being, targeted in when you're trying to do good and then your family's security and safety is compromised as well. So I think that's something that I hope to speak about one day.
Yeah, I'd hope so too. I just, where were you when you heard about this?
We were at Perkins, my family and I. Yeah, because it's been a busy time. The oldest, you know, away at college now to finish her, or to, she graduated two springs ago with her associates and now she's going to go for her bachelor's, but had just got back late last night and then had breakfast with my family and we're getting ready to part ways like that. And then I got the text from you and I was like, Leonard? And then my husband was like, just call him. So I called you and then we were in the lobby area of the Perkins, you know, where they have those stuffed animal games where you can go in and grab the, and I was like, this is like introduction to gambling for our little, you know, for the littles, you know. But so my husband was like, well, I'm so glad I was there with you. I'm too, because otherwise he would have been down the road when we found the news, you know. But yeah, we must have sat in that lobby entrance. Where were you? Were you at your house or?
Yeah, I was working and via WebEx because my legislature is too cold to go to Black River Falls for my work. So we were meeting there and it was brought up during our meeting. And then I, sure enough, I opened up Facebook and then I text you right away and text Haley. Because Haley, as you know, at the end of the show, it says free Leonard Peltier. And now we have to say something different.
Well, I think celebrating, you know, I think it's, had this conversation with my daughter too, you know, my oldest is like, we have to learn to celebrate. I think, you know, it's oftentimes we're just so like grief ridden or, you know, just like living in fear or anger, you know, and I think it's good to celebrate more and to just to celebrate and not to be so sad all the time of everything that we've experienced or, you know, carrying the weight of our ancestors. So I think it's really good to celebrate. And I'm looking forward to seeing Leonard celebrate, you know, from afar. I'm looking forward to seeing him spend time with his family, you know, step foot on his homelands of Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa. So I think it's really important to stress the need and importance for him to have that privacy and that time with his family for sure.
Oh, so I guess you and I will not be leading a caravan from the Twin Cities the day he gets out. Okay.
I will celebrate those that engage, but I don't really
No, I'm kidding. That's, I was just joking about that because absolutely he needs in time and it's a long time. He's been in, you know, there's some, like his son was being quoted on the news and he hasn't seen his father since he was 5 years old.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard a lot of the personal accounts and, you know, even like his son, you know, one of his sons passing away out in D.C. when he was there rallying for him, you know. So it's like just wanting to respect the privacy of the family and first and foremost, you know, they deserve that alone time and that privacy.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you're very humble, and I know that you and a lot of people over the years, I was blessed to have talked to Leonard and interviewed him for the show, which blew my mind that worked out, and hopefully way down the road we'll be able to talk to him. And you know, I think to me, this is being emotional about this. This has a lot to do with being Native, not just Leonard being communed. You know, that there is some sort of justice, whether it's small, a little piece or whatever. And to be excited about like that, like you said, Ruth Anna.
Yes, 100%. Like having our kids there and even the twins, you know, 10 years old, and even my mom, you know, because she does her quiet advocacy, you know, in her own way, and sending letters to all the powers that be, and remaining vigilant in that way. But she, when I shared the news with her today, she was like, can you double check, you know,
right.
She's a born survivor, you know? And so it's just like having that generation see this, you know, within their lifetime, and while honoring and remembering those that didn't get to see this within their lifetime, is pretty special. And we just wish all the best for Leonard, and thankful for everybody who worked so hard, tirelessly, selflessly for his freedom.
Absolutely. Ruth Anna Buffalo, I think we'll see you tomorrow too, but it was really nice for you to stop in and talk about this glorious day here in Indian country. I really appreciate you stopping in, and we'll see you tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Right on. Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back. That was Ruth Anna Buffalo. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and I'm awake.
News from the center, WRCE.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. And Haley, what a day. You know, we think of this person being sworn in as president, you know, and I think of past presidents saying things like, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And then we have this one say, drill, baby, drill. You know, it's just disheartening and sickening. But we had good news today, and so we've had a discussion too. What are we going to say at the end of the show?
I know, right? Well, I asked you that question. I don't know if you really gave any answers, but I was very hopeful that this would happen. I don't know if I could say I was expecting it. I was very surprised. To hear any bit of good news come out of today. But I also want to touch on that it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I think a lot of themes and a lot of topics and issues that he worked on, a lot of like the Native population can relate to as well. There are so many great quotes by Martin Luther King Jr. That touched on like justice and hope and love for humanity. And I think there's, you know, such division in today's world. And, you know, I think it's, well, at least it's clear to me which side of history I would rather be on.
Well, I also have to make this clear, too, that Biden is the one that President, I don't know if I mentioned that, and but people hopefully do know that. And if you don't, President Biden did this clemency, this commuting, you know, and not the orange one. And even though he saved TikTok, so now.
Don't even get me started on that. That's all.
Right.
That's a whole different show.
I know. That's a different show. That's the one we do on Sirius Radio so we can swear and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting. I just think it's because, like, Native, there was a thing you talked about this too, like Native TikTok. There was such a community that was found across Turtle Island on TikTok where Indigenous artists and speakers could come speak about issues in their local area, different tribal nations. And I think a lot of creators, you know, were found on that platform to speak about issues like that. And I know, like, certain people don't have that platform anymore, but I wasn't sure how TikTok was going to be taken away and the whole narcissistic way of kind of threatening to take it away and then giving it back is just not really.
Well, what's interesting too, Haley, about TikTok, and I watch TikTok and a lot of Native TikTok, is a lot of those people get paid, you know, and there was money being taken out of their pockets. People promote their businesses and
in ways. It's like advertising.
Right. But it isn't where they're paying for it, you know, and so it's really definitely a good thing that it came back, but it's really shady and how things went down. I just want to read this too. What was interesting, Haley, is that, you know, there was a link sent to me about Biden commuting Leonard, and then I went back to try and see it, and it was gone because Trump's president now.
Yeah, no.
But I still have it up, and it says communication here. The president is communing the life sentence imposed on Leonard Peltier so that he serves the remainder of sentence in home confinement. He is now 80 years old, suffers from severe health ailments, and has spent the majority of his life, nearly half a century, in prison. This commutation will enable Mr. Peltier to spend the remainder of his days at home confined, but will not pardon him for his underlying crimes. So it goes on and talks about he's serving a life president, a life sentence for killing two FBI agents in Pine Ridge, I can't talk today, Indian Reservation. That isn't what he's in prison for. So that's bizarre that that's up there.
Right. Is that on the White House's website right now?
No, they took everything down because the orange one took over. So
yeah,
it was weird. Within hours, it was gone. Everything was gone.
Yeah, within like 60 minutes, really. I went to go look at, like an hour after all of this news had been out, I went to go look at President Biden. I was looking for a video of him reading off the pardons and everything just to get an audio clip. And I clicked on a link and it brought me to the White House and it said page not found. Mm-hmm. And the link that it would bring me back to was like this whole video montage of the orange one, just like patriotic video montage of like this guy. And it says like the White House page, it said the country is back or something, just like totally stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But they took down everything that Joe Biden had on there.
Like immediately.
I didn't like realize, do they do that? Every president like switches? Do they?
I don't know. I never go onto the White House website, but I did for this because somebody sent me the link and it was a boom, there it is. And then again, like probably after talking to you, and looking for it again, but I still had a window open on my computer, and that's one good thing about having two screens and millions of windows open.
Yeah,
I still have it. I was able to read it.
Yeah, I couldn't find it, but yeah, interesting how that transfer of power happened very quickly.
Yeah, it's amazing, and you know, there's a lot of talk just a lot of talk. You know, we're a community, Native Americans of 500 plus different nations across the Turtle Island, and we all have our opinions, and there's different opinions, but believe me, if Leonard had anything to do with the murder of anybody else, and they would have definitely got him in for that too, and he wouldn't be leaving. So this has been a sketchy thing. So that's my feeling too when we talk about, you know, Anna Mae, for instance.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. It was, Anna Mae was on my mind and my heart today as well. I actually just went back and rewatched Hulu's series, The Vow of Silence, the assassination of Anna Mae Aquash. And I rewatched it a day before this. I don't ask me why I just did it now, but kind of a coincidence. Yeah. And rewatching that, you know, I have so much sorrow and pain in my heart for our MMIR, our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. And of course, that issue is one I will always advocate for. But if the FBI or any federal government agent had anything to keep Leonard locked up, they would have brought that to the forefront right away. So that's just my thoughts on that. Also, there are other theories too that point to different people, but that's a whole different thing. And again, advocacy for our MMIR.
Yeah, definitely. And especially when it's coming up now, this has to unite us, in a way. I believe that we should be happy about this, because this kind of action, him being in almost 50 years, Leonard Peltier, was an attack on Native Americans in different ways. And it was interesting what Ruth Buffalo said, that her mother wanted somebody to double check it and make sure it happened, because these things don't happen for our relatives that have been around for a while. This is third or fourth class citizens of this country. That's our land. And, but this is a bright spot right now, I believe, for us. And I'm going to take every inch I can on this.
Yeah. And I think this really kind of shows where Indigenous and Native American activism is heading, where it's always been. I know Anna Mae was a great activist, and Leonard's imprisonment for that long really put out a statement that if you try to stand up, or any Indigenous person tries to stand up against the federal government, this is what will happen to you. And I know any activist, you know, would, I don't know, just advocate for a fair, reasonable.
Well, if we're talking about Anna Mae, that's just, I saw a great post by a Native leader out there. And I think Anna Mae is more of a thing by the American Indian Movement leadership. And we have to remember, Leonard was not a leader. He was just a soldier. He was just a part of it. And so if there's any really pushback, and a lot of those leaders, Haley, are dead now, that could say something about Anna Mae. And I don't want to turn this into an Anna Mae show, and we definitely can have a show on that, but I also want to celebrate the fact that one win for Native Americans across Turtle Island today.
Yes, and for every Native activist out there.
Right. Right. So where were you? Did you believe it? I mean, how did you react?
I believed it because it came from you. And but the same thing. I was like, I have to double check this. I hopped on Facebook right away. And, you know, Facebook is like Indigenous news media for all of our relatives. And there it was, about like 10 posts. So very happy to see.
Well, we got a writer that I've seen. And as a matter of fact, when I saw the picture and started reading through the notes, it's like, oh, I went and saw him speak on his book. So this will be awesome. So, hey, we have an author coming up, and let me just pull that out in front so I can tell everyone who it is. I got all these different windows open, Haley, forgive me.
Starts with a B.
Yes, it does.
Bruce White.
Right. And there's the window. Bruce White, award-winning historian, and we'll be right back. And he has a book out, and we'll be talking to him. This is Native Roots Radio, and it's Leonard Peltier Day.
We are
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Tel Aviv's Hostage Square, music and hundreds celebrating the release of four Israeli hostages. The four female soldiers were held captive by Hamas for 15 months, now reunited with their families. Israel following with the release of the first of 70 of 200 Palestinian prisoners or detainees due to be set free as part of the ceasefire. It couldn't be closer. Pete Hegseth confirmed by the Senate as the defense secretary only after Vice President J.D. Vance had to break a 50-50 tie. Minutes after the confirmation last night, President Trump speaking with Hegseth by phone while on Marine One in Los Angeles.
We just heard that we have a great Secretary of Defense. We're very happy about that, and we appreciate everybody's vote.
Trump was in fire-ravaged Los Angeles, where he toured charred Pacific Palisades and promised that most federal permits to rebuild will be waived. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks head west. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks open a four-game road trip. Tonight, they're in L.A. against the Clippers. Following that, games in Utah, Portland, and San Antonio. Men's college basketball, Marquette with another win over Villanova. 87-74 last night in Milwaukee. The Golden Eagles have never lost to Villanova since Shaka Smart took over as Marquette's head coach. The Badgers host Nebraska tomorrow at noon at the Kohl's Center. NFL conference championships. First, the Eagles and the Commanders at 2, followed by the Chiefs and the Bills. Quarterback Josh Allen hoping to lead the Bills back to a Super Bowl for the first time since Jim Kelly was the quarterback back in 1994.
You always remember the feeling of not pulling through. You know, that sticks with you for a while, and it really doesn't leave. But again, I think every year that you go through in this league, you learn more things about yourself, about your team, about the game of football. We look at that, and, you know, we just love the opportunity that we have.
That's the Bills' Josh Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Chance of flurries today, otherwise mostly sunny. Breezy as well, a high near 33. Tonight, clear and cold with a low around 8, wind chills below zero. For Sunday, sunshine and 27. Mostly sunny, a touch warmer on Monday, but still windy, high of 40.
Right now, 9 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have updates on important state Supreme Court cases involving the outcome of a November 2024 North Carolina Supreme Court election and whether Pennsylvania can count mail ballots with missing dates. First to North Carolina, where after two recounts, a race for Supreme Court justice is separated by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over Appeals Court Judge Jefferson Griffin, but Griffin refused to concede and appealed to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Griffin's challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's returning citizen rights restoration. He and the North Carolina GOP also challenge voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Wednesday, the Carolina Journal reported that the North Carolina Supreme Court refused to hear the case in a 5-1 decision, sending it back to Wake County Superior Court to consider Judge Griffin's complaints. Back in October, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court refused to rule on whether on-time mail-in ballots missing a signing date could be counted. Of the two challenges filed, the ACLU's argument that rejecting the ballots is a violation of the state constitution's free and equal elections clause will be considered. No trial date has been set. We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend happenings in terms of news and offer you another look at what's worse, your opportunity to call in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have a great guest here, Bruce White, award-winning historian and anthropologist who wrote the book, They Will Not Be Moved, about the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe's fight for the reservation. And it was published in October, and there's going to be a talk at Next Chapter Book Sellers coming up here and sponsored by AM950, or is a AM950 sponsor at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul. And welcome, Bruce. I got a chance to see you for your book reading at the Minnesota Historical Society this, what was it, November, I think.
Yes. Well, that was the first event, or one of the first events, and so it was a good event, lots of interesting people, lots of good questions, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and Pini Gigi for being on. I just think it's amazing all the information you have about, you know, what from the 90s up until 2022 on all these court cases against the Mille Lacs, from Mille Lacs, you know, it's amazing that this is still happening, and really amazing of all the information you have.
Well, it's really amazing to me that people in that area, non-Indian people, found so many reasons to resent the Mille Lacs Band over, you know, more than a century. Their reservation was created in 1855, but they'd been living there long before then. And once they got the reservation, it seemed like, well, the people would allow them to live there and they could make it their home. The term they used at the time was, it was to be their permanent home, where they would be left alone. But that's not the way it turned out.
Right. And it just keep coming back at them over and over again. And this book is written beautifully documenting that. You have a long history here in working on history in Minnesota. Can you tell her? I was really amazed by that, but you've been here for a long time.
Well, considering I wasn't even born in Minnesota, it is crazy, but my mother had worked at the Minnesota Historical Society before I was even born. And then once I got older, and she kind of encouraged me to become a historian. I guess for a long time, I didn't really think I wanted to, but then she encouraged me. And when I was still in college, I got a job in the library at the Minnesota Historical Society and, you know, doing menial tasks, but I would go get manuscripts that people needed to read, researchers, and I would bring them back and to give it to them, and I would always read them a little bit, and I got kind of hooked into history.
Yeah, and you've written quite a few books, haven't you?
Well, I've written parts of two or three books, three books, along with others. The book Minnesota Makoche about the Dakota people in Minnesota, I worked with Gwen Westerman.
That's awesome. Well, we're waiting for you to write one on Ho-Chunk here because we were removed, as you know, and we like talking about. We've been here for 10,000 years, but I think people 40 and under forget that.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, I was just reading a book by Kathy Coates about the Ho-Chunk, which is getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, it really has. It's been out a year, and she's done really well, and we support her and have had her on the show many times. So you're going to be at 6 o'clock Wednesday, January 22nd, which is coming up, 6 p.m. You're going to be at Next Chapter Bookstore. It's at 38 South Snelling here in St. Paul.
Yes.
That's exciting, too. So you'll do a book reading and a Q&A and a book signing, right?
Well, I guess that's the plan. I went to one of their readings a few years back, and it seems like a good setting for that. And I'm looking forward to it. I didn't graduate from McAllister College, but I went there a couple of years, and so I'm familiar with that area. It's kind of nostalgic to go there to the bookstore.
Yeah, right around the corner is Dunn Brothers, and that's been there, like one of the first coffee shops in St. Paul. It's been there since 85, and yeah, Mac is, McAllister is there. I used to work with a lot of former McAllister students when I taught high school.
It seems like so many McAllister students ended up living on Grand Avenue over the years. I lived on Grand at Lexington for 10 years. When I first started at the Minnesota Historical Society. So I had lots of friends from Mac. And so it's a great area for young people to live. At least I found it.
Right. And then you got the Lexington there. You can hobnob with all the politicians during lunch.
Oh, yeah. That was across the street from me. But I tell you, I didn't go there that often.
A lot of
legislators would go in there. And it was a bit, you know, beyond my price range.
Yeah, still is for me. So, you know, what made you write this book about the Ojibwe and the history? And this is fascinating, too, because of the problems they've had, Mille Lacs, and there's a lot of things that have come at them in a bad way.
Yeah, well, I right out of grad school, I got a job working on the 1837 treaty lawsuit in the early 1990s. There was a lawsuit about the meaning of the provision in the 1837 treaty that allowed the Ojibwe to continue to hunt, fish, and gather in the area being ceded. And for a long time, you know, state officials would say, oh, well, that's just an old treaty. It doesn't have any meaning.
Yeah.
But, you know, many band members, they actually had living traditions about that treaty. You know, even though it was signed in 1837, there were people almost 100 years later who, though they hadn't been at the treaty, they'd heard about it from grandparents. Mm-hmm. And so it really was a living tradition. So at one point, the Mille Lacs band decided to file suit to get recognition from the state of Minnesota that treaty right still existed. And I was, you know, I was out of grad school. I didn't really have many prospects. And and they said, well, could you help us with this lawsuit? So I started doing research on it. And the more that I did, the more I became interested in the band itself. Not just the treaty right, but the history of the band. And so while that lawsuit was going on, I began to do research on the band. And so then, you know, I don't know if everyone knows this, but the Mille Lacs band won that lawsuit. And so, you know, I guess people were happy with the research that I had done. And so I got hired by Mille Lacs again later to do other things, but also by I worked for several reservations in Michigan, and so suddenly I had a career that I never knew existed before. I didn't even know that you could do that. You mean you hire me to do research and then I just have to write about it? I thought, well, that's crazy. That's what a wonderful thing. And it was hard to get teaching jobs in those days. Everyone, you know, who went to grad school wanted to get a teaching job. But I found it was, you know, teaching is much harder than doing research, I thought.
That's awesome. Hey,
and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So one thing led to another.
Right. Hey, we're with Bruce White, award-winning historian, and we're talking about, you know, they would not be moved, the enduring struggle of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe to keep their reservation. And you're going to be at 6 p.m. tomorrow, the 22nd, at 38 South Snelling Avenue.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's on Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes. Did I say tomorrow? Yes.
Yes, you said tomorrow. So it's, yeah, Wednesday is the 22nd.
I'm all excited that Leonard Peltier is getting out of prison. So sorry about that, Bruce. It's Wednesday.
No, you know, I understand that. In fact, I was thinking, well, maybe they might not even want me tonight because they'll be talking about Leonard. And, you know, that's an incredibly exciting thing.
Yeah, it is. I wish it would have been years ago, but it's still kind of a win for Indian country, don't you think, Bruce?
Well, I don't know if I can judge that, but I know that people have been, all the years I've been working with people in various reservations and communities, and they often talked about, you know, what a shame it was he was still in jail.
Exactly. Well, I know you're busy, and I really appreciate you stopping in again Wednesday at 6 p.m., January 22nd, at Next Chapter Booksellers. I'm sorry. Bruce White will be there signing his books and talking about it. Thank you, Big Peenigie. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1. U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Had a little extra howl there today, and I wanted to, you know, thank Bruce White for stopping in. Again, it's Wednesday, 6 p.m. At 6 p.m. Wednesday, January 22nd, at Next Chapter Booksellers, and he will be doing a reading and a selling, and a reading and a telling, and selling his book, and they will not be moved. The enduring struggle of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe to keep their reservation, you know. And so that's exciting, and it was really an honor. And, you know, our friend Kathy Coates, he mentioned her, and I have to tell her that he mentioned her because she was trying to get down for his reading at the Minnesota Historical Society because she really, really looks up to him, and she couldn't make it. Something happened with the weather, her kid, I can't remember, but she really looks up to Bruce, and that was cool that he mentioned her and her book, Banished, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Minnesota Historical Society Press is great. They've been putting out great work for years and years. Bruce White's book, They Will Not Be Moved, is forwarded by Melanie. And Melanie Benjamin is the former chief executive of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, and wrote the foreword to the book and talked about how the research helped them win numerous court cases. So, yeah. Melanie, thank you for helping out with that as well. Mm-hmm. That'll be cool if you can get over to Next Chapter Booksellers this Wednesday. Definitely check it out.
Well, I'm going to try, if it's not too cold, right after the show to get over there. Because, as you know, I'm not that far from Mac. I'm really closer to St. Thomas, but people in Wisconsin are listening to us going, what is he talking about? So, hey, we have a couple clips I'd like to play before we talk a little bit more about what's going on in the Twin Cities. But, you know, we're celebrating Leonard Peltier today, and we had Ruth Anna Buffalo on, who's in the last couple of years met with Leonard in prison, and so it was great to get a report. And also really interesting what you said about the humbling part of it, that we all have done something. And there was a quote too, Haley, I don't know if you know it off the top of your head, but one of our former guests said about Leonard, and the prayers were not the thing. It was all the work that was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was definitely a lot more than just thoughts and prayers of what granted Leonard his commuted sentence today. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been in prison for, I think, 50 years, maybe a little over than that, but 50 years, that's a lot of work in advocating for mm-hmm. his freedom. So it's not, you know, it's a lot of people from far away, near, that helped out with this, and honored to know them and honored to have helped a little bit as well.
Absolutely. Hey, we have a cut, and could you set it up for us?
Yeah, I would love to. I just want to let everyone know who may be just tuning in. Today, President Joe Biden commuted the sentence for American's longest-serving political prisoner and AIM, American Indian Movement activist, Leonard Peltier. Peltier will serve the remainder of his time in home confinement starting February 18th. This is an update coming from Indian Collective today that they put out. It's a little audio message that Leonard gave to everyone today. Here it is.
Is there a message that you want to send out that we can share with everyone? There's so much joy and excitement in Indian country right now.
Okay, tell everybody in Indian country and other Indian country, all the supporters of around the world, that I am very, very grateful for what you've done. And you've got me one step home. You got me one step. Home confinement is going to be a million times better than what I'm living in. And I'll be able to get good medical treatment, and I'll be able to see my friends, and I'll be able to get my shoulders fixed. I can start painting again, and it'll be like freedom. It'll be just as good as freedom if I'm at home. It don't matter if I have to stay in the house, but the whole nation should be home confined. That's my home.
Yeah, that is his home.
Wow. It's good to hear his voice again, too.
Yeah, he sounds good. Like, he's got a little strength back in him.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, he can be with us for a few more years. He does sound good, and sounds like he can get some medical attention that you can't get in prison. No. So
like you said, his shoulders, and that's going to allow him to paint again, which creating art in our culture is a big thing of part of our spirituality as well. So I can't imagine him not being able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, so I got to also bring up that it's Martin Luther King Day, and we want to give a shout out too. We're really excited about Leonard, and we're excited to have Bruce on too. We haven't really mentioned that it is Martin Luther King Day. Do you have any favorite quotes?
I do. I have so many. It was hard to kind of pick. I like had to go down the list. This is one that is, you know, kind of reminds me of today. The time is always right to do what is right. And I would say that was done today with
Yeah. Yeah. What a great clip too. Thanks for pulling that out. That's again, I don't know where this emotion's coming from, but as you could tell when I was interviewing Bruce, I'm a little off here, and it really has struck me.
Yeah, it's kind of different. Usually we're a little bit like jumbled up because of bad news, but this is some good news finally today. Like you said, I took over saying free Leonard Peltier at the end of every episode from Wendy. Wendy was doing it before me. The producers were doing it before me, and we're just
and
started
Curtis,
our ninth
Curtis
season.
Started it.
Yeah, Dago Curtis started it, and now we're in our ninth season, and he's finally, you know, able to go home.
Yeah, I don't know. I am totally emotional. And so another thing I want to talk about real quick, too, before the show ends, is the big Auntie Energy coming to the Parkway Theater this Friday. The Ojibwe Trio comedians, and that's, oh, there they are. You know.
Yeah. That'll be Deanna Standing Cloud, Rob Fairbanks, and Trish Cook. They're going to take over the Parkway Theater this Friday, the 24th, in Minneapolis.
You got to get tickets because this is going to sell out. It sells out every year. So
yeah,
get your tickets and get them now, and save me a seat up in front because, well, no, I have my hearing aids now, so I don't have to be up in front anymore.
Just turn them up if you get a back row seat or something. But yeah, so they'll be in Minneapolis, the Ojibwe Comedy Trio at the Parkway. I know Deanna and Trish will be back in St. Paul on February 14th if you can't catch this week's show. February 14th, save the date. I think that's at Indigenous Roots Cultural Center in St. Paul.
Cool. And then also that day is going to be the MMIWR march during the day. And hopefully it won't be this cold because, it's cold out.
Yeah, it might be a little chilly. but I feel like when we're in community, you know, it's always a good time. Your heart feels warm. You feel like, you know, it's just a good day to be in community, especially on February 14th when we bring awareness to our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives and get to hear from their family as well.
Yeah, well, we're winding up the show, and here again, I just want to mention too, Wednesday, January 22nd at Next Chapter Booksellers, we're going to have Bruce White there, an award-winning historian and anthropologist, and he's got a new book, They Would Not Be Moved, and it's about the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe's fight for the reservation, and was published by the Minnesota Historical Society. And was so honored to have Bruce on, and what a great show. And this is one that we can use as the best of when we send it out all over Turtle Island.
Oh, for sure. We got to get the news out about Uncle Leonard.
That's right. And Bruce.
And Bruce's book.
Check out Bruce's book. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and of course, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And it's with great pleasure to say that as of today, Leonard Peltier will be free.
We'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Four Israelis freed today by Hamas. The female soldiers were abducted on October 7, 2023, in the brutal Hamas assault on southern Israel and held captive for 15 months. And while they're now being reunited with their families, IDF Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari saying today,
"We cannot and will not forget the 90 hostages, including women, children, and elderly men, still remain in brutal conditions in Hamas captivity."
In exchange for the four hostages, Israel's expected to release another 200 Palestinian prisoners today as part of the hostage and ceasefire deal. The first of those have been sent on buses to the Palestinian city of Ramallah in the central West Bank, where the released detainees were met by a huge crowd of cheering people. The Senate has confirmed Pete Hegseth as defense secretary after a tie-breaking vote last night by Vice President J.D. Vance. The White House abruptly fired inspectors general at 12 federal agencies late Friday. This is ABC News. After a three-month quarantine, the pandas are ready for their close-up at the Smithsonian National Zoo in Washington, D.C. Some lucky kids were among the first ones to see